I'm 26 years old, living in New York City at the end of the century. And this is what being Patrick Bateman means to me.
You know Patrick Bateman.
New card. What do you think?
Very nice.
Good coloring.
That's bone. And the lettering is something called Sicilian Braille.
It's very cool, Bateman, but that's nothing.
There's a race we're running to the breakdown coming. We say uh-oh, uh-oh, uh-oh.
Something familiar here, yes? A flashback to the 80s? Come on, it's gotta ring a bell.
The city of the 1980s was so incredibly glitzed out and glamorous and status-obsessed, and everyone was worried about nightclubs all the time and getting into the right restaurants.
Look at history, open the books. There are statues with great looks. There are gods, there are kings. I'm pretty sure I'm the same thing.
The 80s is back in the form of Patrick Bateman, a ruthless, soulless, needy character created by author Bret Easton Ellis in his bizarre novel of death, sex, and money. It was no sedate podcast. It was a publishing fiasco that became a bestseller, then a movie with Christian Bale, and now a Broadway musical starring a completely ripped Benjamin Walker.
The streets are humming. I can feel what's coming. I say, uh-oh, uh-oh, uh-oh. You see me gliding, but there's something hiding in the shadow, shadow, shadow.
David Johnson is founder of Act 4 Entertainment and producer of American Psycho, which he says forces the audience to wonder if the show is about then or now.
There's absolutely a potential tension because you could see this going one of two ways. It could either be a send up to the 80s and kind of a fun 80s romp, or it could be really what the novel's about, what it's about now. It's about the 80s, but it's more true now than it was in the 80s, which is about the economic divide in this country, about a sense of purposelessness. No, I think it's true in kind of fun, silly ways, like the food craze and, you know, people eating very specialized foods and, you know, that and how, and it's all about, you know, very exotic and food. And I think even Brett has said that's very funny because when he wrote it, he thought that would be absolutely a passing fad.
Yeah.
No, and it's not. It's more so. In fact, one of the problems that they were having when they say these things that were outrageous when they were written, they don't sound that outrageous.
But the line sun-dried tomato reduction gets a laugh.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
It's very nice. The idea that Donald Trump is a joke in the book, he's a character sort of haunting the book in just humor, but now he's a candidate for president, suggests that you're onto some sort of apocalyptic kind of trajectory.
Probably
here.
Strong, but it's it's obviously, I mean, an interesting thing. I mean, I think in the, you know, somebody pointed out the Donald Trump of the novel is different than the Donald Trump now, because Donald Trump then was, you know, was a real estate mogul. He had a certain lifestyle and obviously spendability and, you know, those kind of things that that if you wanted a certain thing in that time period, you might look to.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump now is obviously a political, serious figure in a certain way. He's definitely a political figure.
Right.
And it is a different position in the world. And that's, you could say that's a change in Donald Trump, or you can say it's a change in the world.
I also found that the staging of this show is really a whole other piece of theater that I hadn't seen before. It's really amazing.
And Ez and Vin are incredibly talented. You know, Ez, I don't know if you looked at her background at all, but she does some opera. She also does very big projects. She does a lot of the big, you know, music stars now, Beyonce and U2, I don't want to start naming because there's so many, but she does all that. She also did like the closing ceremony for the London Olympics. She's doing opening for Rio. So, I mean, she does big projects. You need to know throughout that it's the 80s because, you know, that is what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
It's written about that time period. It is a very specific time period. So there's like the Sony Walkman.
Right.
But we didn't want, as a team, people to feel that it's about the 80s. It's about now. So I think part of the reason you can feel that way is when you see the staging, it could absolutely be someone's apartment now. It's not dated other than sort of things that it's specifically marked for the date, like when he talks about his television having picture-in-picture capability. Mm-hmm. There are things that are specifically 80s. But in general, the way you feel about what you're seeing is that it's absolutely now. You forget that it's in the 80s. You think it's now, I think.
Is it hard to make a musical out of this show? The New York Times review said there's no original music from the show that is memorable or as memorable as the 80s hits that go along with it. What's your response to that?
Well, I think every review is very personal. You know, part of, I think, why people become reviewers is they love theater and they love, and I think people who become Broadway reviewers love Broadway. It doesn't seem like this would be Broadway. This seems, one of my friends said, I'm surprised you didn't do it as an opera. You know, there's a seriousness. There's a, you know, people were very thoughtful about it. We have a friend who saw this who, you know, you can always tell a friend likes it or not. I will come eventually to your question, but we have a friend who saw this who was a economist. He wrote a very complicated email about how much he liked it. The next day he wrote like three paragraphs saying what he thinks it meant. And so, I mean, he's thinking about it all day. People do that. You can tell people don't like it because they write something like, thank you so much for a great evening. You know, it's
right.
And I feel like you either really like this or you really don't.
Well, this show stays with you.
But you either really like it or you're almost offended that we did it. And I think that's a very personal thing, and I think it's about you.
You know, I love the show. I loved it because it was such a huge reach. I just thought, man, you guys are really playing in the stratosphere. And I like that. And I looked at this and I thought, you know, you said opera, and it occurs to me, what I think is unique about this is that the music is a really powerful bed for the emotions mm-hmm. that are going on. But the 80s hits mm-hmm. kind of stand out as the arias.
Yeah.
Well, great experience, great show. And what's your aspiration from here on?
Oh, well, you know, we're releasing a documentary on environmental justice that's opening this month at the LA Film Festival. So we're very excited about that. We're doing another documentary on drones. We're doing a comedy on political campaign finance.
Is there a common theme in the work that you do?
I mean, I think everything that we do, we try and do for a social and political purpose. And the themes that are big for us are economic justice and human rights. So we have a lot. We're trying to do a lot of different kinds of projects that are in the areas that we think we really do believe that if you make people feel and think differently about things, then you can move them to act differently, both in a broad way and with themselves. So that's what we're trying to do.
Well, David Johnson, who would have thought an idealist made it through the 80s? Love that.
Thanks so much. Very nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
David Johnson, founder of Act 4 Entertainment, most recently produced the live stage musical version of American Psycho. To see photos from the stage production of American Psycho, head over to thetakeaway.org.